Mike Rowe speaking.
Even closer.
Even closer,
yeah,
speaking.
I need you really close.
Right on. Right up on it.
I need to enunciate, perhaps. And be
nope, you just have that. To kind of like.
You can mumble. He's used to different mics.
I am.
You work in fucking animation. You watch guys in fucking studio. Oh, really?
Here, slide up just a little bit more.
Do you go watch the actors do their work?
Not typically, but sometimes.
Yeah. The table reads are awesome.
Oh, man.
Are we rolling live? Hello, and welcome to the award-winning Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the inner tubes, and from our other hit podcast, Skeptically Yours. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium ad-free 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by the author of the well-known blog, Hit and Miss, Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now.
That's right, and please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, help us out by writing a review, help us get in the top 10. You may also go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or I'll sick Oprah Winfrey on you.
What is she going to do?
Well, she'll mostly annoy you with her spiritual mumbo-jumbo.
Oh, boy, the listeners don't want that. You'd better subscribe.
That's right, and she'll talk to your trees, too.
Yeah, that's right. Wait, what?
She said it herself. She talks to trees.
Well, she is a windbag. Get it? See what I did there?
I certainly did. We only have two rules on the show. Rule number one, guests may plug anything they want. We're not hypocrites. Go subscribe.
And rule number two, if you're a listener who's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content. And certainly has nothing for you, you wishy-washy son of a spiritualist. We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Mike Rowe, Sean Faircloth, and Drew Marks. You know these guys from Showbiz.
Hello.
Thanks for being here, everybody.
Hello.
Here we are. Can we follow that?
No.
All right. Show's over.
That's exhausted it. After
Thanks for tuning in. That's it for the show.
I got to go home and shave again.
Right out of the bat. That's the writer that is Mike Rowe, ladies and gentlemen. Working on Futurama, which they've killed now. So you're out of work.
I can't complain. I was there for like 7 years. Yep. I mean, it was a sweet gig. It will probably be the best gig of my life. But so I can't complain.
They're going to do movies probably, right?
No.
God damn it.
What?
No. Come on, cut it out.
We need a movie from Futurama.
It got to the point like we felt we weren't quite getting the respect that we kind of put all the work into. You know what I mean? Like the audience started to thin out a little bit and with so much work and I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
I don't know. Unless maybe everybody will
rest. I predict it will be back. But it'll come back. In 3010. That's my guess.
3010?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's
it. We'll be there to see it.
So it'll be current.
Oh, gotcha.
My question is, can an animated show jump the shark? Does that exist?
Yes. It sure does.
Does it?
Yeah, Ren and Stimpy. Ren and Stimpy, they put back on Spike with nobody like Vanessa Coffey, who was pressuring them not to do X, Y, and Z, which, by the way, is what made Ren and Stimpy the first group of seasons fucking genius. Yeah, it was the pressure from the censors. It was the pressure from Vanessa Coffey arguing, why would Ren and Stimpy have a different house every episode? I don't know why Vanessa Coffey in my head is apparently Kermit the Frog. But
that's more like Grover.
She drove them nuts. But you know the process. That helps, right? Can help.
I don't know. It's an interesting thing has happened, I think, with Futurama, even The Simpsons, where you notice there are a lot more people sort of complaining, like, the show is not as strong as it used to be. Yeah. It's not. But I think a lot of it comes from the fans. When they first discovered the show, they were like 9, 12 years old, and it's like 20 years later.
Yeah.
So they just look at the world differently. Right. You know, they're much more complicated people. So
it's like a marriage with a blowjob.
I wish.
No,
yeah,
I mean, they're
Maria,
great.
It's just like
complete
that.
Complete the analogy. How does that work?
Blowjobs are great in season 1 and 2 of The Marriage, but when you get into 7, 8, 9, and 10, it's like, she's not even fucking into it anymore, and you need something different, like a fist in your ass, and nobody's going that distance.
Oh.
Wait, you ever write that into a script, Mike?
Where are we? What show is this?
Well, now we're talking about Brickleberry.
It's a new animated Brickleberry, yes.
I've moved us on to your other project, Brickleberry.
Oh, boy. Brickleberry. That's been a very educational experience for me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not my show. I didn't create it. But the guys who created it are really cool and really funny. And I have this great, crazy, nuts, sick, racist, dirty sensibility.
Is it racial or racist? Because they're different, you know.
They come from the Howard Stern school of comedy where
shock.
It's shock.
Yeah.
And I still haven't figured out Howard Stern where if you say something racist, the idea is it's so racist that we're making fun of racism.
Yeah. It's difficult. Listen, that's a weird and difficult line to walk, and it's an art form to do it right.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Well, I think if it's become so blatant, it's satire. You're obviously not. It's. I guess I'm
you
just
mean like
to say
the
it's
U.S.
where
House
you're
of
coming
Representatives,
from.
The people. In Congress.
Yes.
Okay. But you never know. I mean, I worked on this cartoon with Jeff Ross and Tracy Morgan. It was on MTV. It was called "Where Are My Dogs At?" It was about two dogs in Hollywood. Jeff Ross was sort of the lost dog. His family came to L.A. from Jersey. They came to Hollywood. The dog got lost in Hollywood and met up with Tracy Morgan, who was this big pit bull dog. And
of course he was.
He taught him the ways of the streets in Hollywood, you know, the cruddy streets of L.A. Anyway, so there was a lot of celebrities in it. There was a lot of celebrity-driven jokes, and it was a sort of a form of getting roast jokes into cartoon form.
Right.
So Snoop Dogg did an award show around this time where he brought two women out on leashes like dogs.
Right.
So, yes.
So we thought we would do a version of that in the cartoon because we had Snoop Dogg in this episode and they ran into Snoop in Hollywood. And we just basically did what Snoop did in real life on this award show.
Okay.
And then it got the show shut down.
Oh, no.
Because we did, it was a cartoon and we did what Snoop did.
The fuck?
So you just.
I guess it depends who sees it.
Too over the top for some people.
No, maybe the problem is he should have made the dogs Jewish.
Oh, God.
Or maybe it was my joke of, like, in the end, Snoop Dogg putting a plastic bag on his hand and reaching out of frame. I don't know if that was an issue. But
I hate that just a scene can get a show shut down.
It really
down
got
like
this
that.
Woman who was ahead of a certain kind of campaign of I don't know what, and it snowballed, and all of a sudden it was in the paper. You know, it became this big thing, and then. And they showed up one day and said, look, we're not canceling. We're just going to put a pin in this for a while. We're just let this
That's
blow
called
over.
We're canceling.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Always means that.
But right. Snoop Dogg, it was...
Snoop Dogg, nobody
said... He could do it again.
Yeah, right. He doesn't care.
He could do a half-hour a week show.
And
of
where did his that award show...
It was like an MTV.
MTV,
and
yeah.
Music Awards, whatever, you know.
Yeah. Did he catch flack for the live event?
No,
he did nothing, right?
Snoop Dogg can do whatever he wants.
What the hell is that about? He admits to just being high constantly. Nobody cares.
Well,
he admits to being black.
He's not Snoop
it's the
Dogg
weirdest thing.
Anymore. You know that, right?
Oh, he's not?
No, he's Snoop Lion now.
Right.
No, I'm not kidding. That's that's very real.
You haven't heard about this?
Formerly known as Dogg. Known as K-9.
Yeah.
He's a Rastafarian.
He went...
His religion
was Jamaica.
Has caused
isn't that where the transformation took place? Yeah, he went to Jamaica and had like a religious sort of transformation and is no longer Snoop Dogg. He is Snoop Lion.
Now, the interesting thing about that, I mean, not... all that interesting, but so he started doing that and promoting that and coming on shows and being that guy and doing more Rasta stuff, and it's not getting any bounce.
Right.
So like,
right.
I was on Arsenio last week, and it's Snoop Dogg,
and he's back
doing stuff from the 80s. You know,
being himself again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. That's when the paycheck starts to suffer, you're going to start acting
maybe
like
he could do.
He'll go back to
religion.
His original step and fetch it in no time.
Yeah.
If I could brag for one second, but I worked on the Donald Trump roast, Comedy
Central
roast.
Oh, yeah?
I wrote a lot of Snoop's stuff, and I did get a joke, and that became one of those highly quoted jokes, which was was for Donald Trump. So he said, you know, Trump is thinking about running for president, and I could understand that. It's not the first time he pushed a black family out of their home.
That's so funny. That's really great.
I like that. That's a good one.
So, all right, listen. Sean Faircloth is with us. He is not from L.A.
Not a bit. Well, actually, I am. I grew up in Huntington Beach.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You know, I was born in Anaheim, but then ended up growing up in Kansas City, where I was drugged back to when I was 2 years old.
You were drugged?
I was drugged.
You there?
They
drugged him and took him to Kansas
drugged
City.
Me on
they
the
drugged
seat.
Him and dragged him.
It's the only way most people go.
Yeah, no shit. Awful, awful. So I'm from Kansas City, but, you know, I was born in Anaheim. So you are in L.A. What are you doing in L.A.? Why are you here?
Well, I was out speaking at a free thought conference about my book, Attack of the Theocrats. How the religious right harms us all and what we can do about it. Little plug there and talking about
that is
our
part
friends
of the,
in
that
the
is,
Congress.
That's the full title, by the way.
Yeah,
there's
what
no
we
room
need.
For anything but words on the
cover
of that book.
You read the title and the book is done.
Right.
Really. Yeah. No, but and what we can do about it is actually the part I want to get in because with our friends in Congress today, we need to do something about it. And the theocratic alignment in Congress is overwhelming, and at some point we need to address it.
It's kind of nuts. I mean, they're taking over. It's absolutely stunning to watch.
This is the most theocratic Congress in the history of the country, no doubt about it. I mean, they've got some greatest hits. There's 1920s. That Congress sucked. 1880s was really bad. Right. But these guys get the gold. They've done well.
Well,
do you think it's cable TV, 24-hour cable TV? Does that kind of...
What's doing
it? I think it's... I was in the legislature for 10 years, in politics for 10 years. I respect the religious right. They organize the hell out of it. Maybe they got 25% of the population on their side, maybe. But they use the pressure points, find the states where it works, and they've been there swinging. Whereas,
and
how often do we see us showing up, secular people showing up and saying we're going to influence the process?
Yeah. Right.
Very much less so.
We're like the potheads of politics.
Yeah, but that would be my question. Is it really that there are more of them, or are they just so much more organized and vocal?
Yeah.
They're much more organized.
Yeah. They're much more and much more vocal. It's, you know, I think if when it just comes to numbers, there's probably more of us.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Just, I'm not talking about general population. I'm talking about in Congress.
I don't know. I mean, when you talk about in Congress, I mean, yes, certainly not in the U.S. House of Representatives. That team wins.
No. They're well, that's because we got in a fair amount of the Tea Party people who were just freaking crazy.
But if we're asked to show up in Washington, it'd be the Million Man Schlep. You go, I'll be fine.
Yeah. You should be in Congress. Run. You know, as you said, you're out of a job. Go.
That's a fine. Let's put a pin in that one.
Yes.
I'm amazed by the information when I look at what you say online and the speeches that you give. I'm stunned. Like, for example, you just said something that is shocking to most people. Most people think that 80%+ of this country is religious, and therefore most people think that this theocratic position in politics is supported by most Americans.
Not a bit. Now, on the other hand, we had our friend Oprah mentioned, and I guess we might get back to her, but there's a lot of that out there. Kind of, I believe in something which I think is... I believe in I'm a good person, and to label myself as a good person, I must say I'm religious. But when you get into any details, I don't know, it's all wavy out there.
It's fuzzy.
Right. But when you get to the religious right, that's different. They mean what they're saying.
Right.
They aren't kidding around with that, and they want to shove it down your throat.
Yeah.
And just they've been successful.
It felt like Oprah. I'm sorry. Yeah. It felt like Oprah was almost saying, "I am whatever my audience wants me to be." You know what I mean?
Right. Well, she's done a lot of that though for years. Like The Secret. You remember that?
Yes.
She promoted those.
She's responsible for The Secret.
You think your way out of poverty. You think your way out of health problems. You know, just whatever you're going to say to sell. Really kind of crappy bunch of stuff, but it does bring a lot of people to her show.
There's a lot of really bad lightning bolt moments that came from Oprah. The Secret is one of them. The lie that ecstasy eats holes in your brain.
Yes.
That was perpetrated by Oprah.
Also, the dog whisperer.
I was going to try it
the
just
dog
for that
whisperer?
Reason.
Do you know about that?
No, what?
Wait.
Well, she sort of like, the dog whisperer and of people I know who are dog trainers. My friend's wife is a dog trainer. Her friend... his methods of training a dog are wrong, and they're the old school, and they're...
He's a dog shouter. He just...
Yeah. And, but he's popular because Oprah gave him the nod.
I see.
So that's why he became famous.
Dr. Oz as well.
Yeah.
Dr. Phil.
And Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
Dr. Oz,
she
Dr.
should
Phil.
Never be forgiven for that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. She should never be
Sean.
Forgiven for this, by the way. Well,
you should
on.
Go on her show.
Here we go. We go on it.
How do we get Sean?
As soon as I come up with some vague philosophy that says nothing, but feel positive. Feel positive. All wear a nice suit. I've got.
Here's
nice
what
suit.
We're talking about. Oprah was talking with Diane Nyad, a swimmer, and she... Well, Diane was talking about being an atheist, but I don't think very well.
No. I like how you downplay her. She's a swimmer. She's an old lady that did something that's never been done.
Well,
I think that takes you a little farther than swimmer.
Well,
and she didn't get eaten by a shark.
Right.
So,
well,
no. I understand that. We'll
okay. We'll let
Drew glow on about what this atheist swimmer did. But let's take a look.
You told our producers that you're not a God person. That you're a person who's deeply in awe.
I'm not a God person.
Aww.
And do I argue against my friends who are, you know, religious Buddhist, Jews, Christians?
Do you consider yourself atheist?
I'm an atheist. And
but you're in the awe.
But you know, I don't understand why anybody would find, you know, a contradiction in that. I can stay.
Damn it. I don't know why
they want to sell books.
All right, we're going to come back to that. We're going to take a break, and we're going to figure out what's going on and fix that in just a minute. God didn't do anything.
I am in awe of what happened there. That clip.
Shut up. I'm going to kill you with my penis. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on ArdentAtheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable interruption.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the Vile comedy album Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Go to gumroad.com/Emery. That's G-U-M as in maddening, R as in ridiculous, O as in outrageous, A as in asinine, D as in damn it, keep your maddening, ridiculous, outrageous, asinine, religious crap away from me. .com/Emery.
No one's going to find that. No one's
going to
find that.
Sure they will. Sure they will.
The paper flag that sticks out of the top of the Hershey's Kiss is referred to by the company as a niggly wiggly. You don't want to know what they call the chocolate kiss.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Did you see that UFO sighting that made the news? What did that latest study about alternative treatments really say? Is this photo making the rounds real or a hoax? Doubtful News is a unique website featuring news about pseudoscience, the paranormal, anomalies, and questionable claims framed with a skeptical view. Come visit DoubtfulNews.com every day for news about cryptozoology, conspiracies, shams, scams, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Doubtful News. Critical thinking is essential in assessing today's news. Doubtful News helps you decide, can you really believe this stuff?
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Mike Rowe, Sean Faircloth, and Drew Marks. Thanks for being here, guys. So I re-queued the video that we were watching where Oprah just completely drives off of the rails, and we're going to run that now. And this is a woman who apparently swam, what'd you say?
From Cuba to Florida.
From Cuba to Florida. Yeah. So she's an immigrant.
I believe it was her third attempt.
She here legally?
Now.
Once you make it. She swam in on a door.
All right. Let's
1978, first time out, I think. No, it's true.
Actually, she was on top of the cube and they didn't make it.
Oh.
All right, let's see what she has to say.
Soul to soul. You told our producers that you're not a God person, that you're a person who's deeply in awe.
Yeah, I'm not a God person. And do I argue against my friends who are, you know, religious, Buddhist, Jews, Christians?
Do you consider yourself atheist?
I'm an atheist. And
but you're in the awe.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't understand why anybody would find, you know, a contradiction in that. I can stand at the beach's edge with the most devout Christian, Jew, Buddhist, go on down the line, and weep with the beauty of this universe and be moved by all of humanity. All the billions of people who have lived before us, who have loved and hurt and suffered. So to me, my definition of God is humanity and is the love of humanity. And as we return to, you know...
Well, I don't call you an atheist then. I think if you believe in the awe and the wonder and in the mystery, that is what God is.
Okay.
That is what God is.
Well,
God,
I guess,
not
you
the
know,
bearded guy in the sky.
It's not bearded, but I guess there is an inference with God that there is a presence. There is either a creator or an overseer. I don't criticize anybody because you know what? The definition of life is we will never know. Mm-hmm. We will never know.
No, it's not.
You know, what
until that last breath.
Went right off the rails.
Yeah. And maybe it's an oh wow one for you,
you know,
as it
I
was
could
for
be
Steve
like,
Jobs.
Whoa, I should have been praying all these years. I'm going the wrong way. But for now, I don't criticize anybody. People tell me they see ghosts. They see ghosts. People tell me that they remember past lives back to the Middle Ages. They remember them. People see God and feel God, and that's their faith. And I have nothing to say about it. Just for me, I'm an atheist who's in awe.
An atheist in awe. So do you consider yourself a spiritual person, even as an atheist?
I do. I don't think there's any contradiction in those terms. I think you can be an atheist who doesn't believe in an overarching being who created all of this and sees over it. But there's spirituality, because we human beings and we animals, and maybe even we plants, but certainly the ocean and the moon and the stars, we all live with something that is cherished, and we feel the treasure of it. And
I believe that and feel that so deeply. It's why every time I enter my yard or leave, I say, hello, trees.
Yeah that's what you do, Oprah. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. I just
Oprah,
why the trees, though? Why not rocks?
Why not rocks? Yeah. I think that Diane was just placating, Oprah.
I don't know.
I think she was trying to not insult her too much on her own show, because I think in another setting, if they were in a bar drinking, she'd have been like, what the hell's wrong with you?
I don't know. Right. She seems like a terrible atheist to me. She seems like she's not really sure.
But Carl Sagan says, spiritual. You know, people use that word. They love the beauty of the universe. So
for years, I called myself spiritualist after I got away from religion because like Oprah, I was confused about what it meant to become an atheist. For a long period of my life, I didn't know that. In my head, I thought, people are going to think that I don't have any morality, or I don't have any awe. I don't have
It's the good label.
Yeah.
I think what religion is, I label myself good by saying I'm religious.
Right.
And that's what it's there
You're
for.
Afraid to be called bad. You don't want to be called. You don't want to be thought of as a terrible person because you don't believe in something, anything.
And what's even worse, though, is that vagueness that she embraces so much. So she'll have psychics on her show. She'll engage in stuff with homeopathy, all this kind of stuff without any kind of verification, selling these shysters to millions of people. And she's very successful.
She talks to trees.
And to me, this clip, too, it's just, I can't ever watch Oprah for more than 5 seconds. So this, to me, is even just pandering. I don't even know if she believes anything she's saying. I'm not even clear what her point is. I just feel like she's trying to be vague enough just to make sure she's hitting everybody in her audience to
not offend.
To conform to the group. Get the big group to agree.
I'm saying just enough so everybody who has a sort of a different view can agree with me.
Still feels they're okay in Oprah's eyes.
Yeah.
I just, that whole thing with awe, I don't understand why that's associated with a being or a bigger power. You can look at anything, a work of art, a piece of food, and I can be in awe of what that person just created. It has nothing to do with God or anything else.
Well,
how is awe taken on a different meaning?
Well, I think the problem is when someone believes in a higher power, a God, a creator, and all of that, I used to be one, then you connect your sense of awe, and you connect, especially if you've been through any really religious processes, like being born again and those sorts of things. Those are visceral. Those are very, very real experiences to the individuals. What's happening to the individual is not known to the individual. I didn't know that there were just chemicals being activated in this groupthink process that I was experiencing in speaking in tongues and all of that. I didn't know the processes at work. I ascribed what happened, I assigned what happened to a higher power that was working through and in me, which is so hot. And so that's, I think, why people like Oprah, if she is being genuine and Mike's not right about her, I don't think that it's that simple. I think she really believes this bullshit, Mike.
I don't, and maybe because I've never watched her for more than 5 minutes.
Well, good for you.
There's something about her that kind of creeps me out.
You know?
It feels like she lives her life in this weird showbiz bubble, so she's just...
Which she does.
And she's also willing to promote things that really lead to harm. I mean, that whole power positive thinking, there's a chapter in my book where I talk about some of this where they say, well, think your way out of poverty. No, how about we actually look at the problems underlying poverty and address them.
Yeah,
I think Oprah Winfrey thinks she's God in some respect.
Well, and also on the show, she said, well, I find that you are not an atheist.
But that's what I was going to say. It's a little condescending to go, I don't think you are what you think you are.
Yeah. I hear proclaim.
Well, Oprah, I don't see you as a black woman. I think of you, I think if you believe in the power of oppression, there's no way a black woman has her own TV show. There's some same math back at you, Oprah, you stupid cunt.
Whoa. I think she thinks that tree is God.
Yeah. Well, she thinks God is everywhere. I've heard her talk about that bullshit. Everything. Yeah. It's in every... the vibration. She's a fucking pothead.
Excuse me if you guys have probably over the different shows talked about this, and this is
it's okay.
This is where my head goes when I think about this whole idea of all this, because I come from a small town in Connecticut, and very religious. Everybody is very religious. It's all about religion, yeah. And I get it. I get it as far as, like, for them, it's a complete comfort zone. It's a coping mechanism. Yeah. People who probably are not that I'm that sophisticated, but people who are a little less sophisticated can see it as a, like, there's this safety net for me. There's this cushion, and they just use it as a way to, like,
glide through life
and make life easier, yeah. Because they have this feeling of, like, it doesn't matter because it's going to get better than this at some point.
If all else fails, I've got a protection.
Well, they're scared. They're scared, yeah, yeah. And that's the one thing that's like having their teddy bear that makes them feel better.
That's exactly what
believing.
I want to believe it. I'd be up for that afterlife.
Would
if
you really?
Guys can go buy me one, I would go.
I don't accept
it as a gift.
As
long as it's not in heaven.
I've never heard of an afterlife that appeals to me on any level. I mean, the Christian
But since they're all made up,
awful.
You can make up your own.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I have a whole set of ideas about what my afterlife's going to be.
Oh, really? Really?
Oh, yes.
You need to start your own religion, mister.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, and then I can get that tax deduction for my house, which nobody else gets. So, yeah.
Sounds like another book in the works.
No, that's part of my book, but it's also something we want to change because nobody knows about it. There's something called the parsonage exemption. So these ministers, there's a book called Pastorpreneur. I recommend it to your listeners.
Wow, Pastorpreneur.
And in it, they
sounds
talk
like an
about,
apropos name.
You use this tax deduction, so think of whatever your housing cost is. And I'm talking about the pool boy and the curtilage around your property, the pool itself, anything, the cleaning service, all of that. Is not counted as income for the IRS. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't you like to do that? Well, you cannot unless you are a man or woman of the cloth.
I am. I am.
Well, then go for it, my friend.
I am. I am a humanist minister, and I can marry people.
Oh, really?
Praise you. Actually, tonight? That's a good legal challenge that people ought to
we ought to start that. Using yeah. that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you can become a pastor or minister of humanist groups by paying your $20 or $30, and they send you a card. I have it over in the...
if I remember, the IRS says you got to have some congregation, so you might have to scare up a few.
Well,
of
we have a church,
a place of worship.
Yes. We do have a church. It's the Church of Bacon.
Yeah, we're associated
United
with the church.
Church of Bacon.
United
yeah.
Church. Oh, I'm a grand exalted something in the Church of Bacon.
And I'm a priestess.
United, does it include donuts as well, or no?
Yeah,
okay.
Mostly
in fact,
bacon.
Our listenership is our congregation.
That's correct.
Ah. There are people right now. Holy hell!
Why haven't you applied for that tax deduction?
I'm going to have to check into this.
And we have
he doesn't
T-shirts
have a pool.
Too.
Yeah, I don't. I don't have a pool.
Well, you will.
He has
later
a pool boy.
His tax deduction.
Yeah, we've got a pool boy. Yeah. No pool.
Can I? They're more fun anyway.
I wanted to ask a second about faith healers because, I don't know. I just kind of know what little I see on TV and that sort of thing, and I know kind of the bigger ones are. Those guys know they're a scam, but are there faith healers that truly believe
sure. they must.
Who they are?
They must.
Oh, of course. Because
when you let your child die in front of you, as happens every year in the United States, mm-hmm. you'll see the story. Now, I do believe the parishioners have to buy it. And what's most sick is that in the laws of most states, there is a provision in statute so the minister can get in front of the congregation and say, the state law of whatever state it is gives us some leeway to engage in so-called faith healing. And that really empowers the parents to do horrific things.
Have you heard about torture. It was a commercial on TV for a new show about snake handlers, those pastors that yeah. handle snakes. That's a show coming out, I believe.
Wasn't that Southern Baptist?
I don't know if it happened
this?
On that show or not, but you know there was a father and son team of snake handlers both killed by the snakes.
Well, the big founder, George Hensley, I write about him, he's like the great leader of snake handling back in the 50s, died. I always think that might be a bit of a detriment to your cause, but apparently
it's not. It's not a detriment. And you know why it's not a detriment? Because like religion, it's got the same safety valve built in. Like all religions all have safety valves built in when proof of that claim is abundantly clear. The safety valve is if you are pure of heart.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
It's so, an unprovable out.
It's an unprovable out. So if somebody gets bit, right. there must have been something. God did something to that guy for some reason. Right. He must have been butt-fucking somebody when we weren't looking.
Well, it's that whole thing, whether it's you're surviving a tornado, a hurricane, a flood, a snake, whatever, as soon as you just go with whatever happens, it was God's wish.
Right.
But do you ever wish you felt that in a way? You
know what I mean? No, not for a moment. It just makes me angry every time I see it.
Do you, Mike? Do you wish you had that kind of awe, that type of Oprah-esque awe?
Now that you put it that way.
But again, that's not awe. That is not believing that no matter what happens, that is just like taking a drug, okay? Yeah. You know, it's like Thorazine because you are saying, no matter what happens, I accept it as God's will.
Right.
There's a laziness to it. Also.
Yes.
You
know? Yeah.
There is a laziness. Come well, it's on. Like what you were talking about back where you grew up, where the people are just, they're drinking their beers in their bars, and they're numb to the world, and they're trusting that when they die, it'll be awesome. It won't be this shitty.
Also, the double standard of it, because back to those ministers, I mean, all of us in this room haven't lived in the pre-mega minister era. That's really the last 40 years. And those people are raking it in.
They sure are.
And saying, you know, pray for that prosperity, but the only prosperity you really see is what goes into their jar and into their pocket and into that house with the deduction.
Just saw an L.A. pastor on TV.
Yes.
A new TV show with these L.A. pastors driving around in a Bentley or
a Benz. And he had another car. What was it?
It was a Bentley and a Benz, I think. And
yes.
He was arguing that God was supposed to be giving him this shit.
He's been doing it for a long time.
Unbelievable. He earned it. Just fucking doublespeak. Maybe I can find that clip and put it up after this. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store.
Good news, everyone.
That's right. We have a premium ad-free service. We already give you the free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year. We only have we have another option, and that's the pay more if you want button. Some people actually give us more money, and when they do, we give away the subscription to the needy. Every once in a while, I get an email from somebody saying they just cannot afford $10 a year. There are people living that way, folks. And when that happens, we'll pass it forward. We'll give it away. I got an email today. I'll be responding this evening and giving someone a free subscription to the premium show.
Thanks to you.
Thank you very much. Male dolphins flaunt their authority by forcefully raping other male dolphins. Yet not a single peep from P.Z. Myers.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Did you see that UFO sighting that made the news? What did that latest study about alternative treatments really say? Is this photo making the rounds real or a hoax? Doubtful News is a unique website featuring news about pseudoscience, the paranormal, anomalies, and questionable claims framed with a skeptical view. Come visit DoubtfulNews.com every day for news about cryptozoology, conspiracies, shams, scams, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Doubtful News. Critical thinking is essential in assessing today's news. Doubtful News helps you decide, can you really believe this stuff?
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Mike Rowe, Sean Faircloth, and Drew Marks. Thanks for being here, guys. I've been trying to get you on forever, Mike. Thank you so much for getting over here.
Thanks.
You work your ass off. I know you're busy.
I'm working on a new animated series, Danny McBride. You know Danny McBride?
Yeah. No, I don't know
he's
Danny
bound
McBride.
And down.
He's bound and down.
Oh, yeah. Loaded up and trucking. We're going to do what? I'm sorry.
It's called Chosen. It's about a gay white rapper just out of prison. You know, I'm in my
what?
Element.
What? Really?
Yeah.
That sounds like a joke.
That's hopefully, with any luck.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is he the gay white rapper?
No, it's Denny Moynihan, who's on SNL, plays Drunk
cool.
Uncle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bobby Moynihan. Yeah.
Yeah, I should get the names right.
It's all right.
If I'm...
You're not in the writer's room yet. Relax.
No. I'm actually doing outside episodes, so I don't even have to go in the room right now. So I'm...
That's a way to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I like editing at home, man. I prefer it. It's wonderful. So how did you grow up, Mike? I mean, did you grow up religious? Did you have any of it shoved down your throat?
Well...
Did you attend church?
Plural.
I'm from a really small town in Connecticut called Waterbury, like 100,000 people, like a rundown factory town.
Everyone knew everyone.
Yeah. And my family, when we were kids, they presented religion to us, but they didn't shove it down our throats. And as a kid, you kind of go along with it and believe it when you're sort of at that age where you still believe in Santa Claus.
Right.
You just don't question it. You're just, okay, there's Santa Claus, there's this. And until I was 8 or 10, my parents even kind of backed off. They could see we, you know.
But as a family, did you like do that Sunday go to church thing?
We did when we were really small and just for a short time. And then everybody kind of backed off, and it just kind of dissolved. And you know, because I certainly had no interest in it. I had to go to catechism class after school, you know, every Tuesday.
Right.
And then so you sit in a – we had to go to a different school, and a Catholic school, and they would talk religious stuff. And I want to go home and play. I don't want to sit here. So I just never even really sort of –
You never bought it at all? Was there a time when you realized – because, you know, most of my friends, comics, writers – they're mostly non-believers, not necessarily atheists. You know Eddie.
Yeah.
We won't say a last name, but, you know, Eddie's a non-believer.
Right.
But, you know, he's kind of irritated by my ardentness. You know, he's like, what the fuck? Why do you care? Why do you bother?
Well, I mean, that's a good question because it's sort of like, you know, I guess I could see your purpose. Well... Is your purpose sort of like, you know, if you get like a faith healer that's this psycho who's letting their kids die, that's a good reason to get the word out there. That's a good reason to talk about it. That's kind of debunk this
that's
kind
of
stuff.
That's one of hundreds of reasons that you find guys like Sean Faircloth writing books and me doing this show and inviting comics to come on and try to make what is otherwise... a boring and painful discussion, enjoyable and fun and important to somebody, some people. And there are people out there all around, and I'm not kidding, the world. We get emails from all around the world. We get more than 40,000 downloads a month from our shows. And we get emails from people in India who aren't coming out of the closet. I had a fan send completely, she would be kicked out of the church for doing this. But she sent me the underwear, the Mormon underwear.
Yeah.
Right?
We took a picture.
Yeah. It's really great.
Not any kinky pictures.
No. Right.
If I could talk like the swimmer lady, I would sort of say, you know, like to my aunt who's very religious and finds comfort in her life with that because she doesn't have a lot of the tools to figure it out.
Right.
Fine. You know, you found comfort.
I don't have the tools to figure it out. Let me know when you've got it figured out.
Yeah, I mean to figure out life. I mean, but that's sort of the easier way to do it. You know, an easier way to find comfort and coping. And, you know, they sort of don't live big lives. They don't, there's no complexity, you know, so it just seems like
a lack of education.
Yeah,
you think?
Yeah, yeah. And not even, I mean, I have relatives that never even leave the
hometown. And I think a lot of your relatives would agree that some of these religious problems need to stop. I mean, I think that they can be religious. And Oprah, to be fair to her, I think a lot of the things that happen from religious right extremism, if we illustrate those, a lot of religious people might say, well, that's not fair.
That's true.
That's not right. And bring it to their attention. And then maybe a few of them come over to our side.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I think one of the arguments, like when you were saying, like, why? You know, your friend's asking you, why do you do it?
Right.
You were saying, yeah, why do you do it? To me, it's the smoker's argument. It's like if you're a non-smoker, what you're doing is not affecting the world around you. Mm-hmm. But the smoker, even if he doesn't intend it, does. Now, the problem with religion, and that goes beyond they don't intend. They do intend to affect the world around them.
Yeah.
So by non-believing, you are not really affecting how people live their lives. But the believers, because they're so intense in their beliefs, and their beliefs are so defined, they are very much trying to affect everyone else.
They've specifically planted. I mean, at least since the 60s, 70s, they have political organizations with budgets of hundreds of millions with that specific goal, and they're successful.
Well,
and
exactly. And that's why you have to have the other side fighting back. It's not that we're trying. At least I don't feel that way. I don't feel like I have no need to try and make a believer a non-believer. I don't care.
Yeah.
For me, it's like I don't want to spread the word. I don't want to win converts. I don't give a shit about any of that. All I want is for them not to gain any foothold in the political process where it now affects my life.
Although I'd rephrase that, is to remove the foothold they already have.
Yes.
They've really got a big foothold already, more so than they've ever had.
I know, and if you look at, obviously, religion in the Middle East and what that does and how it almost threatens the world in a way.
It does.
I would argue that religion here threatens the world. Mm. I really would. Without religion here, it's much harder to get kids to put their lives on the line to go fight against the people's religions they're fighting against. There is a very very effective us against them equation when you've got Christians and then you demonize Muslims and you get these kids to go over there and kill these towelheads. Right. That works.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's one of the reasons I'm very, very much opposed to it. Let's take a look at...
problem with that.
What?
I have a little problem with that. Not that there's not an element to that, but I think that to dismiss, like, even if we were not religious here, the fact that you have the religious fanatics there, you do have to fight them.
Oh, and I'm with you.
I am a liberal. No, don't get me crazy, bastards.
I'm fundamentally opposed to war. I think that there are always better options than killing people. Always. Without exception, always.
Yeah, you like people more than I do.
that's my take, and that's why I argue from that point of view. I want to take a look at this this preacher pastor guy. He's got a new reality TV show. This is a CNN clip talking to the preacher. He's talking about why he's trying to defend why he's got so much bling.
You see my glory, but you don't know my story.
Well, the man you just heard from joins me now. Good morning to Bishop Ron Gibson. Good to have you with us.
Good to be here, Victor. Thank you very much.
So, of course, there are some people who see that and hear that. They have a problem with church leaders having a lot of wealth. Even the Pope is talking about this and demonstrating it by taking a less grandiose lifestyle. He's now in the Prius, calling the people of the Catholic Church to be a poor church for the poor. The minister of the gospel, how do you balance having wealth and helping the poor?
Well, I balance it. I look at it from a biblical perspective. The covenant that God had with Abraham, he was blessing Abraham to be a blessing and not to hoard the blessing upon himself. He blessed him to be a blessing to the less fortunate. And so I look at it from the same perspective that that God blessed Abraham. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to every creature. And I can't do that. I can't go to the airport and say, hey, I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor, give me a ticket, I got to go to Africa and build some wells, or to the Dominican Republic and build some churches. No, it costs money to get on the airport, so preachers, we're to be balanced and not extravagant, but yet we must have the means, and money is a medium of exchange whereby we can make that happen.
Balance and not extravagance, but you just talked about your Bentley. A Benz would do it, right?
A Benz, yes, and I do have a Benz.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I have a Benz and a Bentley. Yes, I like both of those cars. I was blessed. I've been pastoring 26 years, you know.
I've ripped off a lot of money.
School. We have two schools. We have preschool. We have an elementary school. We have a boys' home. We're in partnership with a developer, building 1,200 homes, two parks. There's a plethora of things. It's a large vision that God has given us, so that's going to take money to finance the kingdom of God.
That's true, but you just said that you live by the philosophy of God's covenant with Abraham and not to hoard. Is this not hoarding your Bentley and your Benz and that beautiful home we saw and all we'll see this season on the show?
Well, I don't know what your definition of hoarding is. If I had several Bentleys, it probably would be, but I can only drive one Bentley at a time, and my Bentley isn't 2007 with 85,000 miles.
Aww.
You guys are seeing me right now, but I've accumulated my, if you want to call it wealth, over the years.
You're not complaining about having a 2007 Bentley with 85,000 miles and saying that I'm just a little demure pastor.
Not at all. Okay. Not complaining so at all. But to answer your question, Vic, you said, is it hoarding?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's hoarding. I'm just saying I bought that Bentley back in 2007.
I'm so glad that reporter was so on him.
He really pushed him.
But they should know. They should know about the parsonage exemption. They should know how many of these people there are. And he's like the tip of the iceberg, these extreme ones. But what I'm telling you is back in 1970, there were fewer than 100 megachurches in the United States. Megachurches 2,000 on an average Sunday. Now there's hundreds upon hundreds of these. You go out to Kansas. You go to Missouri. They've got these mega ministers. In fact, Joyce Myers, you know, she's a tip of the iceberg person with a huge, you can Google map her house, just incredible. And the point is that they've ripped off people everywhere. And when he talks about charity, they always give you this fake line. When you run a 501c3, you got to open your books to the IRS. Public can look at what you're doing and ask questions. Churches are a black box financially. The percentage of what they do that actually goes to charity is dramatically small compared to, you know, any kind of secular organization, Red Cross, whichever you want to name. It is a rip off. And these, as much as I do appreciate the reporter went a little way, we got to punch a lot harder and see the media punch harder.
Yeah.
On the Wall of Reason, Cherry Teresa said in response to the video, "Life's hard." Uno Means Marty says, "Aw." And poor fella. And Carl Barrett says, "There's the aw."
There's your awe.
There's your awe.
Shock and awe.
Do you think at least what he talked about as far as building schools and building homes, is there any sort of truth to that?
But it's the percentage of the money that I'm talking about.
We'll get back to that after this. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to a few of our listeners. Scott, Dar Emery, Danielle Lucas, Felix Leach, Adinikov, Dylan, Krobama, Carl Barrett, Anna, Pope Fiend, Simon Magus, McJustice, Herbie Reagan, Shelby Melbourne, No Agnostics in Foxholes, the Jedi Smurf. I want to give a special shout out to Booger Bender. He is our only deaf listener. He comes, I'm serious.
He's a deaf listener.
He comes onto our...
Say that again.
He feels where you're
coming from.
He comes onto the chat room and hangs out with our people in
he's
the chat
atheist,
room.
He's an atheist. And he loves the show because he comes to the Wall of Reason and interacts with everybody.
That's correct. I also want to give a great big thank you to Cameron Winters and Joe Swam. They help us out a lot. These are some of the people chatting on the Wall of Reason last week. Thanks for being there so much, everybody.
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Mike Rowe, Sean Faircloth, and Drew Marks. Again, thank you so much for being here, guys.
Always a pleasure.
You were saying something when I cut us off to commercial.
I completely forgot.
That always happens.
So, Drew, you were talking about whether they really do that.
Yeah. Did they build the schools?
Even, let's say, I'm certainly not standing up for them anyway, but do they at least maybe?
Do any good at all?
They might do some, but you look at Joyce Meyer, they did an investigation, and the percentage of the money, she'd always talk about how much was raised, $114 million, but the amount that was actually spent on actual charitable work, they're always showing pictures of, you know, some poor kid in Africa that they're helping. But there's no opening of the books to see how they're spending the money. And go, everyone, I encourage your listeners, Google map Joyce Meyer's house outside of St. Louis, Missouri. It is a palace. In fact, it's more than one palace.
I hear you have to be zoomed all the way out to see all of it.
That's right. Yeah, you're looking, you know, you got a gravity view.
Yeah. So, listen, at the end of the day, I'm going to answer your question from my perspective, in my opinion, Mike, and that is this. I don't care how much personal good religion does to individual people in terms of placating their fears of death, in terms of putting up schools in Africa. If you're putting up a school in Africa and you're putting a Bible in it, you aren't helping anybody, in my opinion. You're indoctrinating people to, you ready for this? A fucking lie. So when you convince people, and by the way, a problem in Africa, they can put up schools till they're fucking blue in the face over there, as they have been doing. And by that, I mean all of the religions that make their way over to that soil. They put up these schools, they indoctrinate these people, and right now we have people burning others as witches. This is a result of Christianity making its way into that culture, and when Christianity makes its way into a culture and begins anew, it buds brand new, it goes through the same exact growing pains that it has always gone through. It's predictable, it's dangerous, it's deadly, and it's fucking wrong.
It's almost as if they go in there, they bring the Bibles, they teach that the word is true, and then leave. And then
they work at the anti-gay hate in Uganda.
Right, there you go. That's a result of
that is American bread. Well, they go, the fundamentalists from America went there to bring
they
that
They run away with it. Yeah. You know what I mean? They take it and run with it. That's
and
what
by
I'm
the
saying.
Way, to build a school in Africa only cost $8.
$7.5.
Well, give you here's another one. Franklin Graham, son of Billy Graham, who's a real SOB, this guy, but he talks about, oh, we're doing so much in Africa. They're always talking about this. In one of their hospitals, they had what they were saying to people who are really sick, desperate people, and saying, well, first, we'll get you treatment, but first let's talk to you about Jesus. Well, that is really a so-called Christian way to handle, health care for people. I mean, these people, in especially I'm talking about the fundamentalist evangelical movement that's grown financially so much, some of the lowest of the low, and so much of the incredible hypocrisy, and this job that I have traveling around speaking, one of the things that outrages me, I'm a sexual libertarian. Whatever you want to do, as long as it's safe and so forth and so on, not my business.
But then don't turn your back on me.
But but the amount of hypocrisy that you see in the evangelical world, I think that there's a scandal as big as you hear with the Catholic Church and the children and so forth, with the mega ministers and parishioners. You know, I'm not saying children necessarily, but really exploitation of young women and really in a way that's beyond the pale.
Yeah, you know?
Especially when you're preaching the exact opposite.
Right. We on the show we pick on the Muslim faith for shrouding women, and we do the same thing in our Christian faith. We don't physically shroud them. We emotionally and we conceptually shroud them. We treat them like lesser beings in these religions, and it's just as bad, and maybe sometimes worse. I think you know. Right. When you talk to someone who has been brought up to cover their face and to wear that whole burqa thing, there's another perspective from which every American should be aware. You really should be aware of what's going on in the mind of these women. They don't feel oppressed. They feel empowered by the processes
they're told
put through.
That's what they feel.
Yeah, and Christianity has similar effects on the psyche of women and the treatment of women. It's really, really awful.
Well, it's all about being subservient in one form or another.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Sean, your book. Do you tell people how they can get involved in the political process?
The one
process?
Thing I would like to talk to people about most is really and do something about it.
Right.
And one project I'm working on is called Secularity USA, and really, because we're in the time we're in, we kind of accept, okay, the religious right, they're really big and powerful. But if you go back to the 60s, Barry Goldwater, Mr. Republican, said, and I quote, "I have no respect for the religious right." Jack Kennedy said, "Separation of church and state is absolute." So both the major candidates were coming up in the 50th anniversary of the assassination. Kennedy and Goldwater were personal friends, even though they were totally the opposite politically. And they said, "We're going to do Lincoln-Douglas debates, and we're going to hang around and disagree." But they both had that issue clear, and the clarity was separation of church and state. Mm-hmm. It's dramatically changed. And so what I want to encourage your listeners to consider is we got a Secularity USA project where we want to organize citizens for the 2016 campaign. And by that, I mean today, because you're going to have to organize for 2 years
to do it.
But to organize people where we have a real, credible counterbalance to the religious right, which includes atheists, agnostics, whatever other term you want to use, free thinkers, but also I want to include like your relatives back in Connecticut. I want the religious people, who I think a lot of them are good, decent people, and you say, really, there's a law in most states that gives greater leeway to faith healing where kids die? I'm not in for that.
Right.
They might be religious, but they're decent people and they're not in for that, and build a true coalition to make that happen. I'm going to be working on that for the next couple of years.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a story, Albany, New York. Greg and Jalea Swayze were found guilty of child endangerment and sentenced to 5 years of probation after they allowed their 17-year-old son, Zachary, to die of appendicitis. This is happening in this country every single year. We have deaths because people believe that they shouldn't take their kid to the hospital
they
for appendicitis. There's another story
Diabetes.
A girl dies of diabetes.
These parents, are they self-appointed faith healers themselves?
No.
Or is there an outside
usually
person?
The congregation preaches it to them, whatever denomination you're in.
Doesn't Christian Science?
Christian Science, there's many others. There's several, but Christian
Science. That's an oxymoron.
Also, yeah.
Christian Science, they believe in the power of prayer.
Yeah.
And, not medicine.
I'm not putting Oprah on the hook for this, but she that The Secret sort of talks about this, not that specifically, but in this concept of you sort of think your way out of problems.
Right. Right.
And so I think you should think and then do something, but there it's sort of like psych yourself up. Yeah. And so the Christian Science viewpoint is the ultimate example, where you literally, you are not to accept medical treatment because you can think your way out
right.
of it. You know.
So then the congregation creates this cult-like atmosphere, so the parents go home and say, according to the congregation, according to our now beliefs, you pray, you will be fine.
And the whole congregation will pray
and
for
they,
you.
Okay. It's snake and handling. It's and just they, fucking snake handling. Yeah,
yeah. And they if get our tax heart, money for it.
Like they do.
The treatment for it, they'll have people with Christian Science in many states, and to some degree it's allowed under federal law, where they'll say, oh, well, having some kid, they'll pat your brow as you have, you know, type 1 diabetes. I mean, if you see someone die from type 1 diabetes, it's not a fun game for anyone. But there's a little girl who died of it in Wisconsin recently.
Yeah.
And you're gasping for breath and desperate, you know.
So does the person who leads this congregation, so that person also firmly believes, or could also he also know that he's, you know, a snake oil salesman? I mean, does he? I mean, if he's seeing people die because of his,
I think a lot of them do believe that.
No, I think at that
they
point you
that
have
God
to
is...
believe, because you are one kind of psychopathic
right.
son
yeah.
of a bitch. If you don't believe and you're still doing it
at a particular point, George W. Bush couldn't admit that he made any errors once he had committed so many people to this war. And that's how religion is with these kinds of
that's
religions.
That's a good analogy.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you
I'm
can't
in.
Admit.
I'm in.
You admit one fucking error, and then the house of cards comes down. So the minute that guy has congregants dying, there's no going back from that. Now you are fucking committed to the lie until you get off this planet, because they're going to fucking
you
screen
you
up.
Well, you can't say like that last person, oh, you know what? She had diabetes. We could have fixed that with some insulin or whatever.
Yeah.
You can't do that, because who in the congregation isn't going to go, yeah, but isn't there something we can do for this one? It is totally an all or nothing deal.
Yeah.
Right,
but that's why I say they have, I believe that they believe it.
Right.
Yeah, I think in that case, to be fair, that's relatively rare. Like when I talk about the hypocrisy, I talked to a woman, definitely, obviously remaining nameless, who was the wife of a minister, mega minister, and this guy's the total, you know, the fire and brimstone type. No sex before marriage, of course, not anything gay.
Right.
No outside of marriage, none of that kind of anything. Just sex in marriage. Period. Then he would say to her, I heard her tell me this. She would say, "We go with these other ministers, and we're going to do a gangbang with you this weekend."
Wow.
Yeah, and it was just total hypocrisy.
Right.
And she said, "You know, this was not uncommon, not necessarily the gangbang."
No,
but
I know.
The total
this
hypocrisy
kind of
about
thing
sex.
Is not uncommon, right?
And I think in the mega minister world, that's where you see the cash. That's where there's a lot of the phonies working the game. Not all of them, but a lot.
Where can people hear your book?
It is.
I heard it tonight.
It is audiobook. You can
good,
get it.
Good. Awesome.
Yeah, no one's reading them anymore. You got
to
listen to them.
Read by a great actor, Sean Faircloth. No. And it's on Amazon, whatever, all the different methods. Or you could actually get a physical copy. But if I got time, there's one thing I want to say more about this Secularity USA project that I'm hoping people and your listeners would get involved with. And it's going to take a quick history lesson here. Because we're working on this project to bring people from all over the United States, everywhere in the United States, to Iowa. Well, I want to explain why. Some of you may know about the Iowa caucus process. If you've been to Iowa.
Caucus.
Yeah. Snicker. And so in this place, you're talking about a place that has a population of not much more than Greater Sacramento. I mean, for all of the state of Iowa. And reporters are trapped there for 9 months.
Right.
In this case, from spring 2015 to January 2016. And we're going to bring in people from all over the U.S., Secularity USA t-shirts, with a consistent message. And I don't think our friends in the religious right are going to expect how well-organized this is going to be. And then we're going to have people go back home to California, Kentucky, wherever they are, and offer a secular message right where we can.
Okay. The name of the book?
Attack of the Theocrats.
And it's got a big old long colloquial name after that. But Attack of the Theocrats, look for that on Amazon.com. And where do they find you, Drew?
You can find me on Facebook, Drew Mars. You can also find Bad Advice, the show, on iTunes as well as Facebook. And we're doing that great live show the 25th at Universal
John Lovitz?
Studios.
Yeah. Where can they find you? You don't want anybody to find you.
Find me for what? Why
would they find give you a job.
If Mike owes you money.
That's it for the free hour. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. I want to thank our guests, Mike Rowe, Sean Faircloth, and Drew Marks. I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson.
That's me.
And our video switcher, Sam Kramer. Tune in next week when our guests will be...
three completely different people named Sean, Drew, and Mike.
And we'll be talking about...
lies.
Yeah, lies. This has been the free version of episode 132, another show that went off without a hitch.
We miss you, Hitch.
I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson, our theme music courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Government Shutdown Swam. And our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Government Shut Your Mouth Winters.
That was very black. Some characters mentioned in this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.
Thanks, everybody.